Isn't God incredible? He meets us where we're at. And being here on Friday night and just seeing so many young kids worshiping. But you know what was I loved? Where's Uncle John and Auntie Daphne? I saw them somewhere here. There they are, just worshiping the Lord on Friday night. You guys are such legends. You guys are just such examples of, when I grow old, I want to be like Uncle John. You know, that's how I want to grow old. And Jeanette said to me, when I said to her, I met her earlier this morning, just greeted her, she said she couldn't even like move on Saturday because she worshiped God so much on Friday night. She just had to take Saturday to relax, you know. So well done, Jeanette. But it is, you know, we, no matter where we are, no matter our age, no matter what it is, we are people devoted to our King, devoted to God, living for Him. And this morning, we've got an incredible treat. Francois, you can come up. Francois's going to share the word of God with us. For those of you who know, this is Francois. He'll introduce himself. I think many of us know him by now already. But just as we were spending some time this week and just chatting, I want to just say, this is a man devoted to the Lord. You'll hear, I'm using this word devotion. It's like all of a sudden, this word's become like my new buzzword, I think. But maybe it's not. I think it's something of the Lord. Of just going, we want to devote ourselves to Jesus and the ways of Jesus, the ways of our King, building the ways that God wants us to build His church. And the Bible does teach us that. He says, His ways. Moses prayed that. He said, Lord, if I have found favor with you, please show me your ways that I may walk in them. Because if I do that, I will find favor from you. And then I can walk in your ways. Because when I walk in your ways, then I find more favor from you. It's like this, you know about a vicious circle? This is a godly circle. Finding the Lord, finding favor, and walking in His ways, obeying Him. So I want you to open your hearts wide this morning to Francois. I think it's the first time you're preaching here with us, eh? Okay. It's the first time he's preaching with us. So open your hearts wide, but hear what God wants to say to you this morning. Hear the Lord this morning. Amen. I'll pray for you. Can I pray for you?
Please.
Okay.
I need it.
Lord, I want to thank you, God, just for a man that is faithful in your kingdom, God, that loves you above all, God. And as he shares this morning, I pray, Lord, come speak through him. Just settle nerves, but just that we can hear you speak this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me if I'm a little bit nervous this morning. I haven't preached in a long time. But I'm Francois. I'm married to Marita. We've got three children of our own, and we're fostering a baby, as many of you know, at the moment. And I'm excited to share. I feel the Lord has given us a message, and it's definitely lining up with what's been happening this morning, I believe. And so I'm excited to see how the Lord moves us and shifts us and bring new perspective. As he's already been doing this morning. And so I grew up as a lot lamiki. A lot lamiki is a late lamb. What's a late lamb? And we were five children. And I remember growing up, my youngest brother, he's 8 years older than I am. He was doing this project at school in the history class, and he had this poster, and I remember the heading, and it said, Torah, Torah, Torah. Who knows what Torah, Torah, Torah means, and what's the context of it? Anybody? Yuan? It's the Japanese. It's a Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and it means attack, attack, attack. And so that thing, I think, that thing of Torah, 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 and that project that my brother did just gave me this fascination with war history. And I'm definitely not a guru on war history, but it definitely gave me a fascination of war, and especially the Great War, the First World War, and the Second World War. And so there are many aspects about it. I mean, you can think about the American attack on Pearl Harbor. In fact, your place, Eric, Hawaii. how the fleets were defeated, and then how the Americans counterattacked with Midway. And then there's other aspects of the war that's fascinating, that's completely different, and that is in Europe, and the Europe invasion by the Blitzkrieg from the Germans. So you got the Japanese, and then you got the Germans with the Blitzkrieg with their tanks invading Europe and just wiping out everything in front of them, taking over France. And then there's the counterattack from the Allied forces that's going into Normandy and in the beaches of Normandy. And you just see the countries of Canada and the Czech Republic and obviously the Americans and the British forces all joining together in this thing of taking the beachhead. Because if they could take the beachhead in France, then they know they had a footing to take back some of the countries in, or some of the land in French territory and into Europe. And so you have not just the soldiers on the ground, you've got the guys in the air. I mean, Winston Churchill had that thing of, never was so much owed by so many to so few, when he was talking about the Royal Air Force and the amazing work that this little Air Force that was really not geared up to fight the German Air Force that was bringing, they called it carpet bombing of London, and they'd just come in with these bombers and they'd raid London and just destroy it completely. But yet this Royal Air Force was able to counterattack, and somehow by the hand of God, it's a miracle, they were able to drive them back. You got scientists working behind the scenes in America on the Manhattan Project, right? The Manhattan Project was how they invented the atomic bomb. And you've got the mathematicians working in Britain trying to break the Enigma machine. The Enigma machine was the coding machine that the Germans had developed, and it seemed like it was impossible to be broken. They thought it will never be broken, and yet you've got these mathematicians working behind the scenes. And so it's not just the soldiers on the ground, it's mathematicians, it's scientists working behind the scenes. One of the great forces that the British had just started inventing was radar, and they started using radar to use that against the enemy. And so it's this amazing coming together of different backgrounds, and it's women working behind the scenes. Marita's grandmother still wrapped the airplane's wings with material. She worked in one of those factories. So the women came together. They worked in the factories, and they were the typists behind the scenes, and you had the strategist and the scientist, and yeah. So I really enjoy that sort of thing. Yeah, and so my other brother, he is 11 years older than I am, I think, 10, 11 years older than I am. And when I was a little boy, I think I was about 6, 7 years old, he finished matric. And our country was at war. South Africa was at war. We were busy fighting the Angola War. And my brother was one of those guys that were called up. And he was just finishing school. He was 18 years old. And where's Sam? Sam here? Stand. Stanhope. Sam is now 18 years old, right? This was my brother. He was going to war. Like, young people, I want to say to you, don't look down on yourselves because you are young. The Lord wants to use you mightily. Many battles have been won by young people. Those pilots were 20 years old. They were like the old guys, like 20, 21 years old or so. Some of the soldiers in the German army, I think, was like 16 years old, 17 years old, like young guys. So don't let anybody look down on you guys. My brother, 18 years old, he goes to army and he used to tell me these stories. I really enjoyed listening to him about these stories. He said when they got there, the very first thing they told them was that they now are government property. Like, that's outrageous. They said, yeah, well, you're worth no one owns. You're now government property. Like, And that's quite a frightening thing. However, it comes with some advantages, and one of them being that you don't have to worry about your barber. And John spoke about it the other day, like, your barber is sorted out. Your haircuts will be sorted out for you. You're given clothes, right, to wear. And they even issue you, for the ladies, they issue you with shoes with heels. In fact, they're called army boots. And then your clothing and your housing is sorted out for you. And then he tells me about, during the basic training, how that there was a sense of camaraderie forming between the guys, and like a brotherhood starting to form before even going to the border. Like already, because they're suffering together, and because they together going through all this training together, that there's a bond forming of brotherhood, right? And so he goes up to the border to Angola itself, and he said those were some of his best days, some of his best times that he can remember of shaping him as well. But he said life became simple. There was a clarity that came, and there was a focus that came when he was living there. And so he would tell me these stories of a simple life, not an easy life, a really difficult life, and he went through some really tough things, but there was a simplicity around it. And so, this morning I want to draw on some of those things. And in fact, you know, the scripture is very clear. There's an analogy used of us being soldiers. And I said to Baron, I feel the Lord is not finished with us with what was shared. In fact, Dylan, you shared on prayer. And it's just like there's a sense of God mobilizing us as a church, or another focus and refocusing on mobilizing us as a church. And so Dylan preached on prayer, mobilizing us to step out in prayer. And then John also preached on the unity of the church and that we move out as a church. And Barent then preached about running our race with perseverance. And so you've got this fighter, you've got the runner. And then this morning, I think the Lord wants to share with us just some of the truths around being a soldier in Christ's army. So I want to draw on some of those things. So the first thing that my brother learned was that he's government property. And there's something in that, because we are told that we are not our own, that we now belong to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it actually uses these words, that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And so we look at this, and now we belong to Christ. If you've been reborn, we don't belong to ourselves. In fact, it says that I've died, and it's now Christ living in me. And so with that in mind, I want to come back to what Hannes was sharing. And there's a very good reason why the Lord has been lining that up with what Hannes was sharing. And then Barron picked up on it. And it's in Matthew 6:25, that very well-known passage. But I want us to look at it at this perspective of what I just shared about my brother. And it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Barron mentioned it earlier, but it's something that Penny and Hannah's been experiencing, putting God first. And all these things will be added to you. And so, because I'm now under a government that looks after me, if I put that government's, their agenda and their focus and their plans first in my life, and saying, Lord, I want to do what your will is, then these are promises of Jesus saying, but I will take care of you. So don't run off to these things. And then, but seek first, as of first importance, as our first importance in our lives. Seek first his kingdom, and he's going to give you the clothing that you need. He's going to give you the army boots. And maybe you think, okay, well, I need maybe high-heeled shoes. I like high-heeled shoes. But the thing is, high-heeled shoes are not going to work when you're in the trenches in the First World War in the mud and so on. So the Lord gives you army boots, right? And you say, but I don't want army boots. I want high heels. If you had high heels and you in those trenches, I tell you, it would have been a nightmare. And so we don't always get what we think we need. We get what we need, what he knows we need. All right. Do not run after these things like the pagans do. And it's in a sense that he's saying, the people of the world that's not reborn, that's not of this kingdom, they run after civilian affairs. And in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it says, like a good soldier of Christ, no one serves as a soldier getting entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So we don't focus on these things. We first seek God's kingdom. Colossians 3, 1 says, since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In fact, Steph, I think it was when you were leading, right, that scripture was also highlighted. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So there's a simplicity that comes in. Life becomes simple when we understand our position. As our first importance, we seek God's kingdom. As our first importance, it's a life of obedience, trying to please my commanding officer. Now, a simple life doesn't mean an easy life, right? It means a life of laying ourselves down before him. It might mean that we go into a war zone, which might get very difficult. But it is a simple one. And it's the life that the Lord has chosen for us to follow. And therefore, that is where we want to be, right? We want to be where the Lord is. That's our heart's desires. Because that we know that's the safest place to be as well, is in his hands, doing his will, focusing on what he has for us. All right, then. Same as my brother experiencing this camaraderie, this band of brothers, this brothers in arms almost. Wars were never won by a maverick or a superhero that goes and he defeats all the enemies, or Rambo coming in and he wins the war. That's not how it works in reality. Okay, maybe if you're Chuck Norris, maybe you can. But besides Chuck Norris, it's the band of brothers. It is the D-Day thing. It's Normandy beaches that's been won by the U.S. and the British forces and the French army and the Canadian and Australians getting together, everyone playing its part. There's many members in a body, but each one plays his part. That is how battles are won. That is how wars are won. We are not individuals trying to do our own thing, and it's just me and Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Now, we've had this message for a long time, but I think the Lord wants to root that even deeper in ourselves. I need you and you need me, because this is a long race. We need to run this race with perseverance, and we get tired, and therefore we come alongside each other and I say, I'm here with you. You've got my back and I've got your back. And we encourage each other. That's why we come together on Sundays, to hear the word. And might not be a great revelation every Sunday, but it's being encouraged every Sunday to encourage each other and saying, let's carry on. Let's keep on pushing forward. Let's drive the enemy back. And so we see this in Ephesians 3:10, where the Lord uses the church to advance his kingdom. It says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose. His purpose was always that it would be through the church that his manifold wisdom be made known. Romans 10:12, we know that very well. I love the way that the NIV, the 83 NIV actually writes it. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It's scriptures that we know, but it's so profound. And so we found ourselves at war. Satan doesn't want to let us know that there is a war going on. His strategy is trying to deceive us in thinking that life is just here in the natural. We're just about going to work and accumulating wealth. He who has the most toys in the end wins. You know, that sort of idea. Living for me and my family. But we know we're not unaware of his schemes, the Bible says, right? We know that's not true, but we need to remind ourselves that we are actually at war. One of my favorite movies, The Matrix. Mr. Anderson. Right? And it's this idea of this dream world that the enemy has created to neutralize us, to nullify our minds and thinking it's just this dream world. And then Morpheus says to Neo, he says, you've been living in a dream world. Like, there's a blue pill and you can go back to your dream world, or there's the red pill and you can see what the reality is. And the reality is our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and rulers of this air. Let's remind ourselves that we are at war. Lord wants to mobilize us in a deeper sense in this season, I believe. If he can't deceive us, he tries to distract us, try to run after other things. Just before church, James and I just shared with each other that scripture of, oh sleeper, wake up. You know, and one of the most tragic moments was the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we are about to encounter the greatest moment in all of history, arguably the greatest moment in all of eternity, where Jesus is being crucified and saying it is finished. Like, that is the most awesome moment. And just before it, it's the Garden of Gethsemane. And here his disciples are sleeping. How tragic. It's almost as if it's the church that's sleeping, yet here's this great war happening. And the Lord says to us, wake up, O sleeper. Let's wake up. Let's understand there's a war going on. And in the spiritual war, our orders is Matthew 28, right? Go and make disciples and teaching them to obey, to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to look after the widows and orphans, to love our enemies, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring them into the kingdom of light. Yesterday, Vian shared with me this book that he's been reading about the Roman Empire. And they explain in there why the Roman army was so successful in conquering so much land. And it's interesting because it said that he says that they did so well because they understood how to follow orders. They understood rank, so they understood each one playing a specific role. Each one understood the role that he had to play, not to try and take somebody else's place and someone else's role, but to obey orders. And that made them so effective that they became this mega force that just took over land. And so I want to look quickly at one of those soldiers, and it was a centurion. In Matthew 8:5, it says that the centurion, he had a servant that was sick, and he came to Jesus and he said, can you come and heal him? And Jesus said, I'll come with you. Listen to the words. Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. There's not many times in Scripture where we see where Jesus was amazed. This was one of them. And he said to those following him, he said, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Now, what happened here? There were two things I believe there was at stake. Firstly, this was a centurion that understood rank. He understood his position. He understood how authority worked. But secondly, he had a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. When we start to understand who Jesus is, if we start to understand who this King is that we serve, things change. We reposition ourselves and start to understand authority. We represent Jesus, and we can come in from a completely new perspective. It changes the way that we pray for people. It changes the way how we testify. It changes the way that we go out to make disciples when we understand who we represent and the authority that he's given us. And so in Luke 10:2, Jesus sends out the 72. And he said, go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. He has that thing again. The government looks after me when I'm putting him first, right? Lambs among wolves. Where's those guys going into the schools? I think they feel a little bit like lambs among wolves, right? Amy? But look at verse 16. It says, whoever listens to you will listen to... Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. In verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. It is his authority that he's given us. If we have a revelation of who Jesus is, if we understand who he is, if we understand that we are at war, then we can go in. And our fight is not against people. Our fight is not against, you know, the Olympic Committee that does a bunch of nonsense. Our fight is against spiritual forces that's behind this. And we go in one-on-one, eye to eye, to the person, and we bring each one of the lost back into relationship with God. That is what we do. Go and make disciples. It's not about this fight against the principalities that we don't understand how that work. Our fight is here to win people, not against people, but we are for people, right? Through loving them, through praying for them, through loving one each other, and the world can see this love that they don't understand, this band of brothers coming together. And so I want to land with that. And in summary, we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We belong to Christ. We do not concern ourselves about civilian affairs. We don't get distracted by these civilian affairs, but we understand that as of first importance, we seek his kingdom. We do not get distracted, but we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We are a band of brothers, like a brothers in arms, as the church. We're representing Christ and his authority to make known the manifold wisdom of God as the church. And so I want to encourage us this morning, let us run our race with perseverance. Let's fight that good fight. Let's go into the schools. Let's go into our community. Let's go to our neighbors, invite them. Let's use love as the key. If we love our neighbor, if we love those around us, if the Lord gives us a passion for people's souls, if we understand how lost they are without Christ, what their condemnation is without Christ for eternity, then it will move us. It will give us that boldness that we need for infilling of the Holy Spirit. Joshua standing at the Jordan, ready to take the promised land. And the Lord said to him, be strong and courageous. In fact, Warren, you just shared that scripture. Be strong and courageous. Yes, it's difficult when you in that landing craft on your way to the beaches of Normandy and the storm is raging and there's a bunch of Jerry standing there with guns pointing your way. But we are a band of brothers together. And each one has to play the part, whether you're the scientist, whether you're the typist, whether you are the guy in the airplane, whether you're the guy servicing the airplane. We each got a part to play. But we need boldness to move forward and understand we're at war. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I want to leave you with that this morning. Let's run our race. Let's run our race.
I think for me, just a sense that God has been here from the outset this morning. Since we've walked in, there's just been a sense of God working in our hearts and encouraging us. And I think this has been, it's been an encouraging and a reminder again to that we are in a war. And we need to run our race. And it's not just this morning. For those of you that are part of us and in this congregation, God is calling us to build his church with him. Yes, the Lord builds his church, but he says, come with me. Come with me on this journey. I want to use you, every single one of you. And I do sense this morning, thank you, Francho, that was amazing. I do sense this morning, God wants us to respond to him. I want us to be probably going to go back into just a song of worship soon. But before we do that, can we just examine our hearts this morning? And I want to ask us, can we close our eyes? You know, it's so often we say this, but I want us to really know this, that the Bible teaches us that it's your relationship with Jesus that is the most important thing. And that's why when we come to a moment like this, we close our eyes. God, in his wisdom and in his way that his creator is, he created these moments for us to meet him. The God that made the universe, that made everything that we see, he's created moments for us to meet him. And I believe this morning is a moment for us to meet him. And I often say this, I say, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. God is gracious, and he often gives us 2, 3, 4, 5 times, probably for many of us 20 times. But this morning, don't miss your moment with the Lord. So as every eye is closed, and I want to firstly just encourage us, there is a war. Yes, there's a war out there, and it's bigger than what we understand and can imagine or know of. But I want to say this morning, there's a war over your life. Do you know that there's an enemy that is focused on you to take you away from the things that God has got for you? And there's an enemy that wants to come and steal and kill and destroy your life. That's his mission. That's what he lives for. He wants to take away and break your life apart. But there's a Savior. There's a person that died on a cross for you. And even when you was part of the enemy of God, he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And maybe this morning you sense there's a war over your life. But you're going like, Lord, I don't even know what that means, God. I don't even have a relationship with you. The Bible is so clear that we will all stand in front of God one day. All of us will stand in front of him and he will say, those that know me, come. Come into my fold. Come into my house. But those that don't know us, we will be of those that will go into hell for eternity. But God this morning is saying that doesn't have to be you. If you this morning know about that fight that's over your life, but just go, Lord, I want to give my heart to you. I want to surrender my life. I want to say, Lord Jesus, come and have your way in my life this morning. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I can see a people that is devoted for you this morning here, God. And I want to be part of those that will live for eternity with you. Jesus died at just the right time for you, taking away everything that you have done on himself, and his blood cleanses you from all sin, all iniquity, all transgression. Everything that you've done, Jesus takes upon himself. And there's an invitation for you this morning to come and join the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us it's from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. And I want to invite you this morning. If you've been here and you see something this morning of just people that are in the light, that's loving the Lord, that lives for him, and you say, that's me this morning, I want to be part of that. Jesus is inviting you this morning, and you know he is because your heart's pounding in your chest and your palms are probably a bit sweaty because there's a fight for your life this morning. There's a fight for your life. And while every eye is closed, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or to be embarrassed at all, but there is a thing, a sense of just going, Lord, that is me, where we acknowledge God and just say, Lord, I need prayer this morning. I want to be part of your kingdom. And if that is you this morning, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Just find that boldness and that courage to do it. And maybe this morning, part of that is you have done this before, but you've drifted away. You've been pulled away by the things of this world. You realize that war, that fight over your life is real because the enemy has actually won part of your life. He has already killed and destroyed and come and lied to you. And maybe this morning you need to come back to Jesus and say, God, I want to come back to you. I want to be fully devoted, God. I want to be fully in your kingdom. I want to know that I know that I know that I know you and that I can be with you for eternity. If there's an uncertainty this morning in your heart about you going to heaven, I want to encourage you, don't care what any person thinks of you. Care what the creator of the universe believes about you, that he sent his son to die for you even this morning. So if this is your first time doing this, or if this is a time that you're saying, God, I'm coming back to you. I realize there's a war over my life and I've been losing this war in a sense, but the enemy has been winning this war over my life. I want to come back to you. I want to ask you to also raise your hand. So if that's you this morning, just with boldness, no one's looking, there's guys praying for you. Don't you want to raise your hand and say, that's me this morning. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Don't care what people think. God's calling you. It's between you and the Lord. Is there anybody else? I do sense there's a battle, even in your own heart this morning. You're probably saying, I don't even know what to do here. Just by faith, say, God, that's me. I want to raise my hand. I need someone to pray with me this morning. I'm not sure. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm not sure if I die today that I will spend eternity with you. Thank you. I see that hand. God is moving. Sometimes in a battle, take some time. So I don't want to rush this. I don't want to rush this. Because there's a war over your soul. And the enemy wants to kill and take away from you. Is there anybody else? See that hand. See that hand. Just want to say God loves you. I noticed you earlier, and no one else knows I'm talking to you, but God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And I want to say whatever happened, I feel like things happened in your life, and God said it wasn't unaware of it. He loves you, and he's got an incredible purpose for your life. I'd love to pray with you after the service. Okay, I don't want to call you out now. Okay. I see that hand, young man. See that hand. Is there anybody else? It's not an emotional thing. It's not a thing of trying to convince you. You know that you know. Deep down in your heart, God is calling you. God is calling you. Is there anybody else? So let's do this. If you raised your hand, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. Because sometimes we go, what do we pray? How do we pray this prayer? And no one's going to be looking, but I want to ask all of us, can we do this prayer together? Can we say this out loud to pray that with those guys that are responding the most morning to the Lord? And even if you didn't raise your hand, God knows you. God knows your heart. I want to ask you, pray this prayer fervently. What that means is genuinely. In your heart, pray this prayer. And then I want to ask you this. Go to someone that you know, or come to me or to one of the guys that led this morning or a part of the service, and just say to them, listen, I responded this morning. And we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you and just explain a little bit what this means. Because it is. The Bible speaks about a rebirth. You are born again into the kingdom of God. So can all of us, can we close our eyes and let's pray this after us. Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I acknowledge that you are God. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. That you took all my sin upon yourself. And that you have won the battle for me. I give you my heart this morning. I give you my life. I give you my everything. Come live in me and show me how to walk for you. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, I want to pray for those that responded this morning, God. Every single person that's given their heart to you, Lord. I want to pray that you would come and seal them off this morning, God, that you would cover them, protect them. I want to pray for boldness, that you would just let them come, Lord, and that as they start this journey of being a Christian, of living for you, God, that they will be knitted into your family, knitted into the way of the kingdom, and that they can live for you and count for you, and that the purposes and plans you have for their lives, God, their destiny, will never be the same again because of this moment today here in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Because I want to encourage you, if that was you, welcome. Welcome to the kingdom of God and welcome to God's family. But I want to encourage you, come, let us pray for you. So there's going to be a couple of guys in front here and ladies. And we'd love to pray with you afterwards. So be bold, come out, say, that was me. I responded to the Lord this morning. And then I want to encourage us, Josh, Jen, church, we are in a war. And in this house, have you enrolled? Have you said, yes, Jesus, that's me? You know that song, Akis Nia Stapsel Daikini? I'm not going to sing it. Sorry, Eric, that's an Afrikaans song. What's the English one? I don't know what the English version is. Yeah, yes, sir, I'm in the Lord's army. There is a sense, we're in the army of God. Yes, we're a church and we look after those broken and sick. But we're in the army of God. We are soldiers. We are here for a mission. We are here for a plan. We are here for a purpose. It's not by chance that you are here in Melkbos. The Lord determined that. Enroll in the army of God. Count for Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't, come to one of the elders. Say, I'm here. I want to enroll. How do I enroll? Where do I fit? How do I play my special part in God's household to further His kingdom? What do you want me to do? Ask your elders, what do you want me to do? And I promise you they'll tell you. Because God is advancing his kingdom in Melkbos. Enroll today. You know, in America, there's this old guy with a hat and he's pointing a finger and it says, the army, I want you. Is that it? What does it say? I want you. Come on, enroll. And I feel God's going. And it's this loving father going, your life matters. Your life counts. I want you. Join the army of God. Join the army of God. I want to end with two things. Kirst, can you come and read this scripture? And then I want to pray for us. And I know you can also come up. Just, you know, this the sense this morning of just, you know, the Bible teacher says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And the sense this morning of God using us as saints to minister to one another. And I want you to hear what God just shared for Kirst and then Anae.
Morning, guys. Just as first, the Lord's impressed my heart this morning. He's got so much love for all of us. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty.
Just as a curse read that to us, and you can sense the Lord on that, God is mighty. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns with wisdom and power. And God is calling us this morning to take that upon us and say, God, it's you. We look to him and everything. And I want to ask Anae just to end with this. And it's a slogan or a quote of someone. And then I want to ask us to respond. We're going to sing a song in a form of a response as Josh Jen. And I want to ask if you need prayer, come out. But as she says this, let's respond to the Lord. And just going, Lord, here I am. I'm enrolling today, God. That's me. I'm taking that step. Okay?
I was reminded about this guy who was a soldier for God. I actually forgot his name. Jim Elliot, who left his family, left his home, went to Southern America, to the peoples in the Amazon, befriended them, spent his life there, wrote letters to his wife, and in the end, he got killed there. And afterwards, his wife found these letters, and he wrote this before he died. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
What does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Can we do that this morning and say, God, I want to lose my life to you, God. I give you my life. I give you my all. And in response this morning, God, I want to say, here I am. I'm standing in front of you, God, as part of your army. Can we do that? If that's you, come out. Let's sing the song in response, and we're going to end off after that. And then we're going to go into the rest of the week.